Welcome, everyone. I am Julie Kismario, though it says Sherry Boone on the bottom of my screen. She's a good person to be too, but I'm quite content being Julie in this lifetime. And so I'm happy to be here with you today. It's Wednesday, October 19th, and we're in Deeper Conversations Coaching, week 5. Today we'll be experiencing some coaching and observing the coaching that takes place here, which has been quite beautiful. And happy to welcome Karen, Dania, Deb, Laura, and whoever is joining through the recording. I welcome you. And thanks for being here today. Does anybody want to read the class agreements? I'm reaching for mine.
I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
Yep. Deeper Conversations, 7 class agreements. Confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within this class or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. Positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, and to be accepting. Hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. Coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgments are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Is everybody on board? So thank you. And would anybody like to move us into a class connection? So a timeout to tune in for 30 seconds or 1 minute or two.
I can do one.
Deb, okay. Thank you.
So just do a breathing exercise. So if everyone wants to have your camera on or off, eyes open or closed, go ahead and make sure that your feet are flat on the floor and your back is fully supported in your chair. And so with that, go ahead and breathe in as deeply as you can for a count of 1, 2, 3, and hold, and go ahead and exhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Go ahead and breathe in again through your nose for a count of 1, 2, 3, and hold. And as you exhale, blow the air out your mouth for 1, 2, 3. Go ahead and inhale again as deeply as you can through your nose, filling up the air all the way up to your shoulders. And hold. And as you exhale, feel your shoulders falling away from your ears. Go ahead and move your neck and head to one side and slowly roll to the other. And slowly roll back. And then go ahead and hang your arms down by your side. And just let them hang and shake a little bit. So you're feeling all the way to your fingertips. And then go ahead and place your arms on the arms of your chair or your hands in your lap. Press down. Feel your legs, backs of your legs on the seat of your chair. And feel your feet pressing on the floor. And then let's go ahead and take one last big deep breath in. And hold. And exhale. And then come back whenever you are ready.
Thank you. I had my eyes closed and I opened them and realized somebody's in the waiting room, Ramona. Sorry. Thank you for waiting. We were in a deep meditative moment. So welcome. And why don't we go around the room and just say, what do you want to say today? What do you want to say today that relates to coaching, that may be a phrase or two that pertains to coaching presence? Perhaps it's something you're bringing in with you. And I believe Karen and Ramona are meeting for the first time. I think everybody else has been together. So Karen usually joins us on Wednesdays and Ramona has just joined the group from now last on Monday until the end. So may you, nice to have you both meeting in this time. And who feels that they want to share one phrase or two? Dania notified us she'll be leaving early. And Lisa will not be with us today. Neither will, I believe, Sterling. So here we are. Welcome.
So I'm Ramona Karen. Nice to meet you. Nice to be with all of you ladies again. I'm a little frazzled because I couldn't find the link on my computer and I had to sign on to this little phone again, but I got to the end of the centering exercise. And so I'm hoping for more presence and let all that other stuff go. So
happy that you made it. I know that feeling. Where's that link? There's so many devices and so many, but you made it. You made it. So welcome. Karen?
Hi, Ramona. Hi, it's nice to meet you. I watched the, I sort of met you virtually on the Zoom recording.
Sort of.
I enjoyed the recording and it strikes me, or doesn't just strike me. My feeling about presence is that it's a way of being and it's a way of showing up everywhere. And I heard this sort of said, various people saying it in different ways, that being present is just a gift to ourselves and to the world around us and how we move through the world. And it, I think it's something that is a practice and takes effort and awareness. And it's certainly part of my mindfulness practice. And I have been noticing that I really pay the price when I'm not fully present. In uncomfortable ways. So I think it's sort of part of a larger practice for my life as well as for coaching.
Thank you. Welcome. Anybody else want to share a word or phrase about presence or what they're bringing in today?
I'm just going to share. I am extremely under the weather.
Oh,
I caught, I don't know what it's like where you all are, but there's a lot of colds and there's a lot of junk going around where I am. And I succumbed to it yesterday. So I'm on day one of a major cold. So I think my goal is just, to be present today as much as I can. I've got tea and water. And so I'm going to do the best I can.
Thank you. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Regardless. And also keep in mind, I'm going to be opening up the floor to, we don't have a coach identified yet. So whoever hasn't coached, I believe, whoever hasn't coached, now's the opportunity to step in. And if that doesn't happen, then you can coach again, whoever. Karen, you want to coach? Excellent. And did we have a client set? This is me not remembering. Deb, it was, and that still feels good to you? Okay. So great. Karen, thank you. And you will be coaching Deb. Wonderful. Deb, Dania, did you want to say anything about what you're bringing in?
About the presence.
Mm.
I think that presence creates the best connection. If you are present, you can stay really connected to your coachee, your client.
Mm. I feel you present today, Dania. Thank you.
Not for too much
time. Not what? Not in, for too long, yeah.
In five minutes, I have
to. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you for bringing your presence for however long you've been here. It impacts the group. And Deb, did you want to share anything? We can't hear you somehow.
Thank you. Okay. I'm dialed in by my phone.
Okay.
My regular headset has gone on to a better place.
Okay.
For presence, I think it's just a matter of being all in. And so just being focused in our, you know, virtual room together.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you. I was doing some mentoring the other day and, before the coach was getting ready to be coach, they were talking about feeling really distracted, just like extremely distracted. And they wanted to be listening. They wanted me to be listening for focus. Like, am I focused? Am I present? And immediately, like when the session started, there was just this vacuum, like this sort of vortex of, you know, I don't think this coach could be any more present. You know, there was just such a beautiful presence, such focus, centered, observing, empathic, wide space created for the client. And, you know, in reflections afterwards, she, you know, was amazed at, it's amazing to notice how present I was and how distracted I always am, because in this space, it gave me the opportunity to notice that, like, I'm distracted most of the time, you know? So I thought that was, you know, we are given this opportunity to really be present and to focus when we're with our client. And, you know, I guess I see that as a privilege as well and an opportunity. Does anybody have any thoughts, questions, reflections since Monday, this conversation around presence has come up?
I, speaking as a sort of a deep introvert, I find that one-on-one or even one-on-two is easy. It's easy for me to be present, and it's my preferred way of interacting with people is to just be zoomed in.
Mm.
And I'm not an extrovert, so I can't speak to the other side, but you know, whether it's I don't know, easier or more difficult for people who are more extroverted in their way of relating to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I have curiosity about that as well.
Yeah. What is the curiosity, do you think, that you're
positive? Oh, what it's like.
What it's like to not be present.
No. Oh, no. No, I actually have lots of experience in being not present. I think actually my experience is that when there's too much going on, when there's too much stimulation, I can't be present because I get flooded and overloaded.
Mm.
I can't be present.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about your curiosity.
I guess this is an unknowable thing, is what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes, to be, my observation of my extroverted friends is that it's like watching someone juggle 10 different plates. They seem to be able to be present with a lot of different mm-hmm. people and conversations and interactions in one group all at once. It's a remarkable thing for me to watch. I wonder what that would be like.
Okay.
That's as close as I can get to articulating the sort of cloud of curiosity.
Mm-hmm. And also, as you say that, I'm also thinking, you know, we could be, you know, we can define presence in different ways, and it applies to coaching differently, because we can be present with our client and then something comes up. And then how do we remain present as that thing's coming that could potentially stir something in us up? And so how do we keep being present? How do we keep coming back? It's not like I'm present, I'm always present, I'm always going to be, you know, unwavering and be able to be this source of unrelenting acceptance, perhaps. You know, this is the work, right? The internal work. This is the coaching mindset. It's making sure that we can come present, and when we can't, or when we notice ourselves come off of that place, then how do we come back?
Well, I can't remember who it was, when I was watching the recording, said that they just like articulated that, oh, you know, what you're saying is bringing up a lot of feelings in me. I just need to take a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't remember who said that, but that.
I think Jean was talking about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other thoughts or reflections? Questions?
You know what I thought of when Karen was saying, if I might, is when, as an introvert myself, I lose so much energy when I'm trying to keep all of these things in the air. Nothing, it seems seamless, but nothing is getting the attention that it needs, because I know something else is going to fall right back into that place. But with coaching presence, if I'm doing one thing at a time, there may be some ups in it where I'm thinking, but it's always going to come right back down to that one. And so that is where I'm, you know, where I'm most comfortable, is looking for the highs and the lows of it. They come back down to the center of that one person that I'm with. And I just.
Thank you. Well, it's like, even in this moment, you know, what are we present to? I know I asked this question last time, not necessarily with needing an answer or wanting an answer, but like here in the silence, like, what are we present to? What are we noticing, you know?
I was just thinking about how intentional we have to be, you know, to be present. And so even though I started off saying, you know, it's like presence is really about being all in, you know, I really have to proactively, like, really think about being all in. Like, I had some windows open up on the right side on my other screen, like, and at first they were up and I was like, I have to close them, like, just because I really, you know, it's like, stop thinking about the other thing. So just, I think the practice of how intentional that I need to be, to really be all in here, to be all in with a coachee, and just really put the other stuff aside.
Mm. Yeah, intention.
So it goes into that energy piece as well that mm-hmm. Karen and Ramona were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only other thought I'd add, and as a major introvert myself, one of the practices that I've employed is I spend anywhere from 60 to 75 minutes every morning before anyone else in the world practically is up. And it's really like a practice of presence. You know, some people might meditate, some people, you know, might pray and journal. But like, I think about that practice of being present and how it actually allows me to have presence throughout my day. And so I think like presence for me is like, what am I practicing outside of the moment that allows me to be present right now? And I think it's all the stuff in my head that I need to in some way, shape or form clear out in order to be here. And I think that practice and, you know, physical activity is another one for me. yoga, those types of things, it helps me to be able to have presence in certain moments. And I'm pretty convinced if I didn't do those things, I'd have a lot less of it. So, I mean, I think, I don't know. I think it's about being in the moment, but I also think there's this practice of what am I doing outside of those moments to really cultivate presence in my life or in this session. So I don't know.
Nice. I can relate. Thank you, Laura. So is there anything else before we switch gears into being observers and Karen coaching Deb?
There is something that Laura just said that I think is really interesting of the things that we do outside the moment to gain presence in a moment. And that, you know, we're on the one side of the spectrum, people who enjoy, you know, yoga or meditation. So something that's very, in one way, I'm going to say sedentary, but I know that that's not really, but it's much slower movements. It's really being very inwardly focused. Whereas Laura, when you said that you also will exercise, like I think when I go for a run or I do a 30-minute Peloton, like I come out of those, like just feeling so much better and clearer in a variety of ways or ready to, you know, take on the day, whatever it is. I barely exercised in the last 2 weeks, so I'm just like, oh. But I just was thinking about the spectrum of that people are able to get to that place of clarity or presence, whether it's something very inward focused and kind of like slowing your heart rate down, as well as getting to a very similar place with really elevating your heart rate for, you know, in a good way. So I don't know, that just kind of came up for me. I thought it was kind of interesting to that doing either or both can help get to that greater place of presence.
Thank you. Karen, you wanted to say something?
I was sort of chewing on your question, what are we present to when we're present, which where my mind went with that is, where do I feel challenged to be present? And I think the most difficult thing for me to be present with in any coaching session is the not knowing, which is what item number 5 is comfortable working in a space of not knowing. So that's just the most uncomfortable place for me to be. And so much of a coaching session is not knowing. and when coaching is flowing or when it's working, I don't notice that discomfort. I'm just in it and I'm with it and I'm, you know, riding the wave or drifting downstream or whatever metaphor you want to use. But boy, there are moments that crop up where I'm just aware of, oh my gosh, I have no idea right now. And staying present means just noticing that, or being present for me anyway, it means noticing that this is so, this is my experience, and not trying to paper over it somehow and fidget away from it. Yeah, I like the question, what are we present to? Thanks.
Thank you. So shall we move on? We could just keep talking and talking. Sometimes, you know, as you're talking, Karen, this idea of like, what are we present to? Like, what's not obvious in the conversation that's in, like, that's happening with me and my client? You know, is there something that is emergent? You know, like, is there something rising that I could name, perhaps, that might help to name? You know, that's just what came out. Well, that's my reflection for you know, what are we present to? So thank you, everybody, for your presence, being here today. And for those of us who will be observing, I just invite you to choose a competency, if there's one you want to focus on or listen for, that in Karen's coaching that you want to then acknowledge afterwards. I saw Karen doing this and it was great. So we're always looking to acknowledge. This is a positive acknowledgement and feedback. So we're not looking for what wasn't there, but what did we see show up? And if you want to bring evidence with words that you've noted down through any competency that you see, could be 1 or 2 or 3. And that's for you to keep in mind. And so I'll invite those of us who are not coaching or a client to mute and turn your videos off. And I'll turn my video off in a moment after I ask Karen, you have a question. And also, I'd love to know what you would like us to listen for.
My question is, what is the time?
The time is just till the top of the hour.
Okay, so roughly 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm setting a timer for that.
Okay, perfect.
I'm trying to set a timer. What do I want you to listen for? Agreements.
Okay.
Or my bugaboo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So So competency number three. Please.
Okay. That's it?
That would be it. Yeah.
And is there anything in there that you're wanting to focus on specifically or strengthen?
I didn't do my homework. Hang on.
No pressure. It doesn't need to be, but.
So number three, reaches agreements about the guidelines and specific parameters of the coaching. Oh, no, that's not the one.
Establishes and maintains agreements.
Yeah. So, number sub seven, partners with the client to define, and eight, partners with the client to define or reconfirm. 9, partners with the client to manage the time and focus.
Okay.
10, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't have a contract, Deb and I, but aside from what this, so starting with sub 7, I guess, sub 6.
So it's like topic, typically, like we discuss topic, outcome, meaning, and success measure. So I'm sure you'll do great. We're here supporting you with loving, welcoming eyes and ears. Thank you for volunteering to coach and taking the risk, if that feels what it feels like. And it's also an opportunity to try things on, you know. So is that good? You ready?
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Deb.
Thanks. Oh, okay. My screen changed. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
I would love it if we could just take a minute to get settled in and settled and present here. So if it feels okay for you, we can both close our eyes or eyes open, but with soft focus and not looking around. And let's start with the breath. Noticing the breath in as it comes in through the nostrils and then flows down almost like a waterfall into the bowl of your pelvis. And then a release and exhaling. And each breath filling a little bit more the bowl of your pelvis, expanding. A cool waterfall flowing in, forming this pool, and then emptying again. Noticing any tension you may have in your neck, in your face. Maybe raise and lower your eyebrows. Relax your jaw. And finally, one last deep breath, filling your belly. And a release. Now I invite you to imagine anything that's followed you into this session from outside that maybe you'd like to put outside the door and close the door behind it so that you can be fully present here with yourself, with this session. You can, if you want to, you can imagine yourself ushering them out the door and closing the door. And when you're ready, you can allow your eyes to gently open. Hi, Deb.
Could have stayed like that for a while.
So we have about half an hour, and I'm wondering what would be the most useful for your time today?
So thinking about this ahead of time, not really super clear or formulated, but something I've noticed over the past few months cropping back up is some perfectionism, this need to achieve, and not wanting to fail. And, you know, I just really had thought that I had kind of not maybe moved past some of that at this point, but it's come up in a few different places, and a couple times has caught me off guard. And so I think I'd just like to explore that a little bit and try and become more aware when that judgment thought pattern is coming in, and to really move into a place of more of a learning mindset, a growth mindset. So I'm just not being as self-critical, less stressed, things like that.
Mm-hmm. What would it mean for you to be able to experience it this way?
I think it would just be more freeing, would allow me to just go with the flow of what is versus what I would like things to be. So really kind of instead of swimming upstream, just going with the tide, or going with the river. So I think it's just about an ease, less stress, less, you know, feeling like a failure, hard to say that word. But even with the examples I'm thinking of, like, other people would not have considered me a failure in any of those situations. But I was not seeing success as quickly as I wanted to. Therefore, you know, to me, there was a big gap and opportunity.
I'm hearing the word that's coming to mind as I listen to you is flow, to be more in a flow state. And how will you know? What will let you know that you've reached this today?
I think overall, when I'm recognizing that I'm in situations that are not going according to plan, that I'm working with it instead of against it, that it's, so I don't know what the success is for today, but I think in general, you know, not every situation is going to go according to plan. But how do I, and again, it goes back to that word flow, how am I working with it, or cutting myself some slack, giving myself some grace that, you know, it's not necessary, but that there's not an expectation that I should have had it all figured out by now, or that everything would go the way that I would want it to go. I think for your question, you know, what would success be for today? I think somehow getting identifying what that cue is, or what the trigger is for recognizing when I'm starting to go down a more self-critical path, and being able to pull myself back from that, because it's just all about the internal stuff in my head. There's nothing really related to the actual outcome.
Yeah. Well, as we start this exploration, What's here right now? What are you experiencing?
Right now, I'm good.
How would you like to begin? What's the first step?
I mean, there's definitely examples that I've been, you know, that I've thought of or that I've experienced over the past couple of months that have brought this to light more. And when I shifted my thinking around each of those, it just completely changed my whole relationship to that situation, that incident. And then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, much better. So I don't think I have any of those on my plate right now. And so, you know, when asking about like a first step, I think it's just, how do I even know, is it just a more general mindset for all the time? Is it mindset when things start going sideways? I'm not really sure.
What tells you that you've become or been triggered into self-criticism?
Excuse me, definitely much more stressed. What else? I think it's the internal talk track of normally, you know, I think like a lot of people on this call, like a high achiever, I set goals, I work hard, I kind of ensure that I don't fail. And so, which sounds, not trying to sound pompous because I've definitely crashed and burned various points. But it's more the exception than the rule. And so, because usually with due diligence, I'm able to avoid that. But there have just been, you know, a few things where, you know, thought I was doing all the right things and the result was not matching the effort. And so, you know, a little bit of spinning wheels, a little bit of, so your question was like, how do I know? So being stressed, not seeing the intended results, you know, being concerned with what other people think. You know, then there's a lot that, you know, thinking of some different situations, you know, there's elements that contribute to the situations that are out of my control. And so just having to recognize that I don't have control over them. I can't have control over them. And I don't know, becoming more okay with that, I guess. I feel like I'm doing a lot of meandering here. So hopefully
it's okay.
You can pull the gold out here.
It's a journey. And you said explore. So we're exploring. So if you take a deep breath and drop in, are you able to feel this stress in a sense of not seeing results? Is there anything present for you right now that you feel this about?
Like where in my body do I feel it, or just kind of what comes up when I think about those situations?
Both. What comes up and where do you feel it in your body?
I mean, I carry all my stress in my neck, shoulders, and back. So that's a given. So it's there. You know, with one of the situations I'm thinking about, you know, I was having just crazy stressful dreams. So that was, I guess, another manifestation. You know, another situation, which was just a very isolated incident or situation. You know, it's like I ended up in tears. So no, there's definitely, it just, each of those kind of triggers different reactions. But I think that probably underlying it is a sense of like, the not good enough, or I should have been able to follow through on that. I should have been able to finish it. I should have been able to make it happen. And so those are the things that tend to come up.
It sounds like you are accustomed to setting yourself up for success, and when it doesn't all turn out the way you expected it to, it can really trigger this for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have high expectations for myself. So.
Yeah. So when you don't meet those expectations and you get, you start feeling stressed, what alerts you to that, to the fact that you're stressed?
Thinking about it a lot. The dream thing definitely starts to come into play. I back, shoulders, neck. I mean, that's just always a kind of a constant. But I think probably the fact that it just starts taking up a lot more mind share, and just trying to think of different ways to remedy or rectify the situation. And just, so it's a lot of mind share as well.
So one of the outcomes that you mentioned has to do with awareness. And if we slow this down or, you know, stretch it out, what's the first thing, I'm curious about, what's the first thing where you go, oh, it's happening?
It's a good question, because I don't know that I've ever slowed down enough to think about what's the first thing. Probably the mind share, of just how often I'm thinking about it when doing other things. And trying to come up with different ideas, different solutions. So that would, the mind share piece would be the first one.
Okay. What do you want to do when you notice that mind share shift?
Just writing a couple things down there. I think getting to, I just wrote down, be kinder and let it go. And I think there's an intermediate step there of, you know, kind of being kinder to myself, you know, really, you know, recognizing how much of it isn't in my control, how much of it is not in my control. And then thinking through just various options. And even before that, of just really doing that check of like, am I in a growth mindset? Am I in that learning place and space? Because if you're in that learning place and space, then it just makes it so much easier to say, yep, it's okay. Like, I don't have this all figured out. And, you know, we're going to try this and we're going to try that and we'll see what works. And so here, I'll probably should have given you an example at the beginning. So a friend and I lead a coaching skills for managers course. And we've run three of them already, and they've just, you know, registration, no problem. We've done a private offering, easy. And then when we were looking to register for this fall session, I mean, it was beyond pulling teeth to try and get a cohort together. And everything that we tried before that had worked before wasn't working now. And we just had, you know, originally just had a few folks signed up and, you know, and it was one of these things that like, I was just watching the time tick by and why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? What is it? You know, and then really feeling like, you know, my network isn't as strong as I thought, or I thought I had a stronger relationship with this person and one's not registering. And long story short, in the end, it just all completely worked out. We, you know, tried a few different avenues, but I really had to shift to a place that, honestly, we've only been running the course for a year and we're still learning and perfecting the marketing process, the sales process. And so I thought because, you know, we had already done the other three sessions, like it was locked and loaded. We knew what we were doing. And that kind of had me with blinders on. And once through, you know, a variety of conversations, like, you know what, we're still figuring this out. You know, is it trying to market over the summer? Is it launching a course in the fall, earlier in the fall? You know, is it? I mean, then there's like 10 variables. And then, so when I shifted my mindset, it was like, okay, you know, so that judger piece started to disappear because then we were like in just a different place of how we were going to fill the class for this fall, which we did. But then just having a much more open mindset going forward in terms of that we don't have it all figured out. And that's just really freeing, going back to that word of just saying, okay, we're still working on it. So I think that was a very long-winded story. But just really kind of getting to the be kinder, learning mindset, options, and then just letting it go, because for a lot of these things, it's, you know, it's a blip in life. There's a whole lot more real stuff going on, and so kind of putting it into perspective.
Mm-hmm. I'm noticing a shift in your whole sort of energetic here as you were describing this journey that you took. From, you know, something that sounded like it had some stakes and investment, and it all turned out. But before it, I mean, it all turned out fine. But before it all turned out fine, you were sweating.
So 100%.
Yeah. So you said that the first sort of symptom that you notice is mind share. How preoccupied mm-hmm. you are. So that's the first thing you want to notice. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, I think that is what tends to come up first.
Okay. And then I'm hearing that you want to shift into a learning mindset, a growth mindset. To look at perhaps some other options and to be kinder with yourself and to let go.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to help you first notice and secondly move into the mindset things?
I think just the whole idea of noticing what that first step is. I mean, I knew that it was taking up mind share. What I had not connected it to was all of these other pieces that it was leading to around kind of being so achievement oriented and not wanting to, you know, possibly not run the session you know, all of those pieces. So, but I hadn't, as I said, I just hadn't connected one to the other. Because again, usually, or not usually, but often, if I put in enough work, I can make things work. So I think it's the noticing piece is really big, and then moving much quicker into that learning mindset, which is ironic because I teach growth mindset. But just really making that a much more present part of my daily thinking, daily way, because it really is, it's just pulling the cork out of the bottle. It relieves the pressure just to say, let's figure this out. And, what's the worst case scenario? Again, these are not, none of the situations I'm thinking of are, life or death by any stretch. So putting it into perspective.
So at the beginning of our time together, you said that you wanted, as an outcome, you wanted to come away with some awareness and some learning about this topic. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about that?
Really good. Sorry, I was just writing myself a note there. So I think, the identification of kind of what comes first is really interesting, to just be much more aware of that piece. And then I think just, and I kind of have these other steps, but then the learning mindset more often as a general approach, and just trying to keep that much more top of mind as well, because in general, I would say I have a growth mindset, though interestingly popping up in places where not always. And so just being really cognizant of it and thinking of the impact and the shift that I've had in multiple examples recently of when I moved into that growth mindset, almost immediately, half the stress and pressure went away because I shifted the expectation, the outcome there. So, but yeah, so very, very helpful. So thank you.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Is there anything else that you need before we close our time together?
No. The awareness piece and kind of a very high level framework here is definitely going to help keep me in the flow. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Deb. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Deb, so much for your willingness to be coached and feeling safe here, and Karen for your beautiful coaching and coaching presence. And before we share some feedback, let's take a 4-minute break to come back 5 minutes after the hour. Karen can take a deep breath, Deb too, and an exhale. And we'll see you back in 4 minutes. Thank you both and all. Welcome back, everyone. Just going to wait for Karen and Deb to join, and then I would love to hear your reflections before I share any of mine about the coaching that we just had the privilege to witness. Before we hear from others in the group, Karen, how was that for you? What did you notice that you did well? Was the boogaboo present?
Yeah. It's funny because I felt like I was embodying all of that, or experiencing all of the perfectionism, the achievement, the not wanting to fail, this everything that Deb was describing. I felt like I was having those feelings. Yeah. And so coaching in front of people is very hard. And I know that I'm not the only person for whom that's so.
No.
So it really was a matter of taking a deep breath and staying present to the not knowing and the discomfort, just sort of inwardly acknowledging it and saying, yeah, here it is. So that actually feels like I'm gonna just take that, acknowledge it as a big win. There are moments when I felt like I really just don't know right now. And it's probably, you know, transparent to everybody on the call, and oh well. I'm in it now. And I feel like I met my goal of creating the agreement, you know, what's the topic, what's the outcome, and so on. About the middle, the discomfort, the clouds parted enough for me to start asking, for me to find my curiosity again. And that suddenly just, it was like the clouds parting. So, I guess my big win is just staying present with the discomfort, staying present with the client, and not giving up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing this process with us, the vulnerable place that you may be touched, and appreciate your courage. Thank you.
Thank you. And
honesty, and we'll hear from Deb and then pass it around. Are you open to hearing some acknowledgement?
Yes.
Okay. Deb, do you want to share any reflections? Mute. You're muted.
Thank you. Sorry about that. So first of all, Karen, thank you so much. It really did help to clarify a few things for me. And, you really gave me a lot of space to just kind of meander and go in a lot of different directions. So, kind of some of the themes coming out were freedom and flow. And I definitely felt like you held the space to allow for that. I think the, again, that question of like, what's the first thing that you notice? It's, I don't think I've ever used that question. And it was just really powerful to really go back in time to think about, you know, what the triggers are and how to become more self-aware. So that was helpful. And I'll use that one going forward. But just making some of the connections for me, and just, you know, as I said, I needed to explore and process, and you held that space for me. So I know that doesn't make it easy for you as the coach, so my apologies, but I really appreciate kind of you giving me the space to clarify, you know, some of the things I came up with.
Thank you. It was powerful to see the, when we were exploring what's the first thing you noticed, something shifted right in there. Just slow the, it's like slowing the videotape down and watching frame by frame and going, oh, here, you know, this is the place. I'm glad it was helpful, really glad.
Thank you both. Who would like to share next, Laura or Ramona?
Here. I just love Karen's, her voice is very warm and compassionate. You felt that was going out to Deb, and it's amazing how what she was, the topic, she embodied it as well because she herself felt it. And so it was like a dance of learning. But I loved how she allowed Deb to remain curious about this. You know, she put the container for her to just explore, even when there was difficult thoughts and uncertainty, she gave her the freedom to kind of feel it and to flow, the words she used. And her open-ended questions were good, that really helped Deb to go deeper in thought and growth and exploration. And so I thought it was just wonderful.
Nice.
Actually, I'll add to that too, Ramona. I'm glad you brought that up. Karen, your questions were very concise. And that's something that I aspire to. And so they were very clear. And so they were just kind of like a little springboard just for me to keep tweaking my thinking and responses. So that was really fantastic.
You see, Karen, it's all there. There for you to receive.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's what I aspire to.
Thank you, Ramona and Deb.
I'll share. I think a lot of what has already been communicated. So I think you did a really good job, Karen, coming back to what you wanted was the agreements, because that was pretty loose to start. And so you continued to ask some questions and come back to those. So, and then at the end, that allowed you the opportunity to circle back and communicate that Deb had said she wanted some additional awareness and learning. And so you circled that right back in at the end. So had that not been clear at the beginning, that obviously wouldn't have been possible. But that you did a really great job noticing and kind of listening at a different level. So you, I think at one point, noticed the body shifted her language, you reiterated word choice. So all of those things I wrote down. And yeah, I mean, I think the note I wrote about your short, concise questions was, the session really felt really free and flowing to me. And I think with less words, it allows that to be the way it is, because you're not taking up as much space and the client has the space to navigate. So I think that was a really great partnership or complement to what Deb needed in the session, which was, I think, freedom to explore. So yeah, those were a few things that I wrote down. Like great things that I noticed.
Thank you. Great evidence. I agree, obviously, with everyone. And also want to highlight, I enjoy like watching you. It's like when you're reflecting or thinking or about to say something, it's like you're reaching up and then pulling it down. It's like out from the ethers and down to the earth, you know? And it's like, what's she going to bring down this time, you know, into a question? And there was some sharing about your questions, and it feels like wherever you go to get them, what comes out is very evocative and powerful. And, you know, the questions that you asked, for me, what's reflected in those is the ability to evoke awareness in the client. You know, if we look at competency number 7, we haven't gotten to there in this class, but number 7.6, which is notices what is working to enhance client progress. So you were mentioning just keeping track of, you know, what does work for the client, like what is working. I noticed when you, when I asked you that question, this happened. And so that must be effective for you. And so tell me more about that, so to speak. And also 7.8 helps the client identify factors that influence current and future patterns of behavior, thinking, or emotion. And so, like you talked about, the middle of the session, that's where things started to flow, the clouds started to part. That's where, like, the questions that you asked started to bring this new awareness. It felt like, you know, awareness was one of the outcomes, but also it was what was happening in the session. The awareness was, you could feel it happening. And it was evident in the question. And then also, I think Deb used the word framework. It's like there was this framework that emerged, but it felt very systematic. Like, first you do this, and then number 2 is you're kinder to yourself, and you're going into the growth mindset. So it was almost like something was being created here, and you were helping Deb come to that framework, you know, through the questions and through this process that you were in together, partnering with her with. So, it sort of felt like a funnel, like it's all out here and then very clear towards the end. The whole space that you were in, we speak to, you know, maintaining presence. I feel like you did a beautiful job at maintaining your presence. And maybe there were moments when you could have gone offline, so to speak, or what do I do now? But being dancing in that, you know, I think Ramona used the word dance, in the discomfort of not knowing, but you just took a deep breath and then you reached somewhere deep and you asked a question and then it just kept moving, you know? So just with a lot of grace, you maintained your presence with compassion, with curiosity, with trust in the process, you know, all in that moment with all of us listening and what's she gonna do next? The pressure, you know? So I think you did such a great job at holding that space, not an easy space. So just want to, you know, celebrate you for that. Just one thing I'm going to say, you know, if we look at the top of the session, the meditation that you did clearly was beautiful. And so just something when we're looking at it through the lens of the ICF, what would be a way to check in with the client to see how they'd like to begin, you know, like we've talked about it in the past, you know, is there anything you need to do to get clear? Is there anything you need to set aside? You know, if you worked with the client before and you know, they like meditation, you know, it might come up, they might ask you for it, but how do we give it over to the client first?
Mm-hmm.
Would be my feedback on that.
Thank you.
What are you hearing from that little piece there about the beginning? Were you noticing that? As I'm giving you that feedback, do you hear what I'm offering in that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Totally resonant. Yeah.
Okay.
But give it to the client first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Like let them lead, you know? Though they might turn it back and say, I want that meditation you do, you know, we want it to come from them, ideally. So nice. Beautiful, really nice. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question for, I guess, both you and Deb, because the idea of a step-by-step, I'm trying to remember the words you used, but like, framework? Well, the framework. Yeah. Step one, I notice this. Step two, I don't know, turn around three times and tug my earlobe. You know, some framework to follow. It occurred to me to try to ask something about that, but I couldn't come up with a question. So, you know, I'm throwing it out here. I don't know if having a three-step thing that you do when you notice this would be helpful. Deb.
Wait, so okay, you got the question? Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it evolved naturally. So I think if I had just kind of been spinning, you know, you easily could have asked a question, you know, along the lines of, you know, what would be helpful to put it into practice, or, you know, just asking something more specific about a framework or a process, if that's something that would resonate with me. Mm-hmm. So as much as I was talking about freedom and flow, I love me a good process. So that's kind of, you know, you could see my mind going there anyway. So I didn't feel the need for you to ask that. I think if I just kind of still had been meandering, just saying, you know, what would help you, you know, clarify or get to those next steps. And then I could have said, you know, a process, a picture, something different. Yeah. But I think you held the space well enough that I was able to get there organically.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Karen, that you might want to ask or share as your takeaway?
No, I feel complete. Thank you so much. First time I'm meeting you, Deb, and first time I'm meeting you, Ramona. And yeah, so thank you.
Oh, okay. Deb and Karen have not yet met. Okay. And now you have more intimately.
Yes, indeed.
So I was assuming that you had met each other, and I didn't even think about it. So apologies for that. So we have 7 minutes, and I guess I'd love to hear from you what you're taking from this week of presence and coaching, and any reflections you want to share and takeaways.
I'll start. I was just looking at my notes from Monday, and I forget who said it on Monday, but somebody said silence is necessary. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, felt that embodied by Karen today, of, you know, Karen being the coach, the coach's silence, what it enabled for me as the coachee.
Mm, really nice. Yeah. I think Sterling mentioned silence is necessary, I believe, when he was referencing a book, perhaps. But yes, beautiful silence, which comes into maintaining presence, right? The coach creates or allows space for silence, pause, or reflection. 5.6. Big check there. Who else would like to share what they're taking with them?
A thing for me is being present. In your presence, you still allow for curiosity to come up, learning. That's an aspect that you always want, you know, in that.
Thank you. Laura?
I think some of the things that I communicated Monday as we were leaving. So like presence really being kind of the mastery of coaching. I mean, so many of us often think about it being the questions, but if we're not present and we don't have presence, the questions are just questions. They're not, you know, meaningful. And then the other thing that I'm walking away just thinking about is like how spacious presence feels. And that's one thing that I feel like Karen really did a great job of. And so how do we create that spaciousness and that presence for our clients?
Thank you for your thoughts and reflections. And I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
And Karen, the last word.
The last word for me is curiosity is my friend. Boy, once I can connect with curiosity, it was remarkable how my entire feeling state changed from feeling the things that Deb was describing, the anxiety, the self-criticism, etc. Once I could connect with curiosity, it just, wow, yeah. Like I could breathe again.
Nice, yeah, that's powerful. It's like from head to heart.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for your very kind and generous reflections. Very appreciated.
Thank you for being a beautiful coach today. Taking that step forward and saying, it's me today. That's courageous. So thank you. And Deb for being the client. And Ramona and Laura, nice to see you. And for participating and sharing your reflections and insight. And have a great few days, weekend. Anne will be with you on Monday for Listens Actively, competency number 6. And then I'll be returning on Wednesday. So until then, all the best. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Karen.